Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. And I'm Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse. And I'm your host for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Sandra Griefkiss. And I am so thrilled to have Sandra with us today. She is a management consultant and vice president for Filigree Consulting. Sandra, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm looking forward to us having a lot of fun over the next half an hour or so. And I'm excited because our topic today is the power of culture and connection in today's referral-based business strategies. You know, Sandra, I think all of us have heard statistics high and higher than probably we can imagine sometimes about the fact that it is so cost-effective, I think we all know, for us to work with current clients and to retain current clients or to gain referral business from our current clients than it is for us to go out there and try to acquire business from a stranger. But I think that there's always that confusion for us around who's responsible for that. So do you think referral-based business strategies or programs are the responsibility of sales or marketing?
Well, you know, that's a great question. From my perspective, I don't think it's either one of those. If organizations really want to embrace referral-based business strategies, they really need to look at it across their entire organization. From my perspective, it's everybody's responsibility, and there's a number of things that need to happen in order for people to be empowered and to deliver on that promise.
Okay. So tell me, where does that start? I mean, what are all these different things? Because it just, I know for me, it sounds like we're climbing a mountain.
You know, it's really not that hard. I think the challenge with referral-based business is people look at it as a sales technique or a marketing campaign. Mm-hmm. From my perspective and my experience, when referral-based strategies are really successful is when people treat it as a channel. And when you treat something as a channel, you look at it from a bunch of different aspects. The very first thing that you do is you develop what I refer to as a ghost. So it's very top level in terms of what is your goal for a referral-based business?
So did you
and
say
what are
ghost
the objectives?
Like, so did you say a ghost? I mean, you know, I'm thinking Halloween, like Boo, like a ghost. What spell that out for me.
It stands for, it's very timely in terms of the season that we're in. It actually stands for, it's spelled slightly differently, it's G-O-A-S-T. It really stands for goals, objectives, audience, strategy, and tactics. Because my experience is most people just go directly to tactics and they have no idea what great looks like.
Yeah, I agree with you. So let me make sure I've got that. That's goals, objectives, audience, strategy, and tactics. And that's good.
Right.
Okay, great. I got that down. So start us off. So you said the first one's goals.
Goals. So setting and most people when they put goals in there, you start, you know, very high level. What does outrageous success look like? And it can be a bit of a man on the moon statement for an organization in theory. And it's not a specific number. That's objectives. To me, goals and objectives are partners, but they're not interchangeable terms. Objectives are really of how much, by when, that sort of thing. Make sense?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way because when I think goals, I do think numbers, but that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so if goals aren't the numbers, what do the goals look like then?
A goal might be we want every employee to drive referral-based business.
Okay.
That could be a high-level goal. The objective of that is how many employees are there, how many referrals do you want them to generate, by which time.
Got it. Okay, got it. So would you say in some ways the goals are theory-based and the objectives are logistical?
I think goals are, what do you want to be known for?
Okay.
It's a bit of a, at the end of the day, do you want to be known as a referral-based business? Do you want to be known as a connector or a connecting hub? Do you want to be known as an amazing strategic partner? It may be you want to grow your revenue significantly, but there's not actually a number in there until you put an objective, because there might be a number of different objectives to get to one goal.
Okay, got it. Great. That's very clear. All right. So that's an example of a goal, and that was the example of the objective. And you said the third one was audience?
Correct. So,
okay.
You know, I spend a lot of time in terms of, I find a lot of businesses are doing a lot of things, but they're not very good at figuring out what is generating the right return. And part of that is they're not really being very prescriptive about their audience. So from a referral-based business perspective, you want to really look at what audience you want to go after, because it may drive different types of referrals, and referrals may come from different places. And the objectives might be different by audience as well.
Okay.
So once you've got your goal, or goals, you know, goals to me is usually if you're treating as a channel, you've got 3 to 5 goals. You perhaps have 2 to 3 objectives for each goal, so you've got different ways of getting to that goal. You define your audience in terms of what you're going after, and then you're in a better position to say, okay, to achieve that and to reach that audience, what are the best strategies? And then you have a way of measuring them. And then you can choose your tactics and spend more time on specific tactics that are going to drive to specific goals that you have.
So your strategies is the way to measure, and your tactics is the approach.
Getting the work done, executing it, getting into market.
Got it. Awesome. So tell me, based on your experience, what is required to have a successful referral-based business?
Well, obviously we've been talking about, you know, having goals and objectives and figuring out what the strategy is. But you can do all that and still not be really successful in terms of building a referral-based business. To me, there's really 3 things that need to happen. You have to have a connected type of culture in your organization to shift towards that. You need to have some process so people know what they're doing, how to get that done. And you need to have some discipline in terms of making sure that culture gets spread through the organization, making sure that people understand the process, measuring that activity, because at the end of the day, if you don't measure it, people aren't going to perform on it.
So I think I have a pretty good feeling as to how you connect the culture. You're talking about it, you're rewarding for it, you're creating awareness around it, you're talking benefit. Would that be the idea of connecting the culture?
Absolutely. But it's interesting. I was speaking in front of some small businesses last week, and when I asked them what they thought a referral-based business was, it was all around their customers and how to get their customers to refer business to them. And what I'd like to do is actually put a different concept out there, and that is look at your customer, and if you want referrals from them, look at your customer and think, how can I help them grow their business? Who can I refer to them? Who can I introduce them to that will help them grow their business? Because at the end of the day, you may provide an awesome service, an awesome product, and they may be referring some business over to you, and they may be, you know, fans of yours. But if you want to make a lifelong raving fan, the referral needs to go both ways. And that's a real shift in culture in organizations today. Most organizations don't do that.
Yeah. there's a real power in being seen as a connector, whether as a person or even as an organization. I agree. Yeah, that's a great point. But I'm curious about the process piece. Talk to me about that part of the three-piece equation.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's at the end of the day, the people that are kind of most organizations go to the people that are customer facing, and they really expect them to be the drivers of referrals. So typically, that would be sales organization, a customer support type of individual. But from a process perspective, what's important is to understand that you never know where the referral is going to come from, and so you need to get this whole concept of connecting out to every employee, whether they're customer-facing or not. And so in order for that to happen, inherently people want to help others. They want to help the organizations that they work for. It's just they don't really know how to do it. So part of the process is teaching them very simply how to make an introduction. It's and it doesn't have to be related to them driving business into yours. It's into your organization. It's simply about if they're talking to somebody and they know somebody else that could help them with whatever problem that they may have, to introduce them. And it's as simple as putting a training process in this case, of when you want to introduce somebody, you just say, I know a person, their name is X. I think you should really meet this individual. Would it be okay if I shared your information with them and asked them to contact you? It doesn't need to be a complicated sales cycle. It's simply an introduction. The other piece is the whole concept of rewards and measurement. So if you treat it as a channel, you have a dashboard and you're measuring against what you said that you were going to go after from a goals and objectives perspective, everybody in the organization needs to understand that that's going to be reviewed regularly, whether that's by every week, every month, every quarter, and you're going to report on it, and they know how they're going to be rewarded on that or recognized. It doesn't have to be monetary. It could be an attaboy, pat on the back. It could be a thank you card. And also, you need to be able to track that. If you're asking every employee to take part in this whole concept of connecting, it's the how are they going to, report back that at a cocktail party they met somebody and they connected with somebody in the IT side of your business because they're having IT issues? That still fits into this play because at the end of the day, that individual that's going to get help by the IT person may then become a raving fan and actually drive you some business. So, you know, that doesn't need to be complicated. It'd be simply an email into a standard box and somebody keeps track of that. I've seen it happen in a bunch of different ways and really effectively. It doesn't have to be complicated. So that's what I mean by process. It's all about how do you enable it, how do you track it, how do you train people on it.
So, okay, and I'm loving all of this, but my fear is I'm thinking, depending on the size of my business, how cumbersome can this be to actually facilitate and apply equally so that you do catch it all? I know you say it doesn't have to be cumbersome, but I would imagine, do you literally have a project team? Do you have a department that manages this? Is it something that needs that kind of attention?
You know, some organizations, if they're very large organizations, obviously will have a team and a process and some technology to automate some of this. But certainly, most small and medium-sized businesses don't need a ton of that to make this work. You really need to have one person accountable that says, okay, I am going to manage an inbox that has this. If people are rewarded or recognized for it, they're going to remember to send the email. It may require some communication to say, by the way, at the end of this week, we're going to be counting it up for this month's results. So if you haven't sent it in, please send it in. And as you set it up, it probably takes a couple of people, including, perhaps the business owner and the head of marketing, whoever's managing that in sales, to develop what the guidelines are. What are you going to count? What are you not going to count? Because every business is slightly different. So there is some upfront work, a little bit, across two or three people to get this done. But then at the end of the day, it's one person that's managing inbox and doing a bit of math.
Okay. Have you seen companies take this as far as putting this as a percentage of a performance review or it weighs on salary impacts and raises? Or has it strictly been almost more of a, I'm going to call it, quote unquote, an extracurricular program?
I call this the predominant things that I've seen is off the side of people's desks.
Okay.
And it's staggering to me that that's the case, because when you actually ask the executives and you ask them how much business do they get from referral-based business, and they're in the 75, 80, 90% of their business is from that, but yet people are doing it off the side of their desks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, A, we know it's one of the best ways in which to create additional revenue. It's the most cost-effective way for us to add to our businesses. And yet it appears to me, from my experience as well, that so many companies are kind of doing this as a, as you put it, an off the side of your desk kind of program. And yet,
yeah, and I think that's happening because their biggest challenges, their biggest opportunity and their biggest challenge is people, right? You've got this human aspect involved in this piece. There's, you know, whatever, 50% of people are extroverts while the other 50% are introverts. And even those extroverts aren't, you know, it doesn't come naturally to them to be a sales person. That's why it's very hard to find excellent salespeople. And I think people don't behave this way because they believe they don't have the sales gene. And what they don't realize is that they don't actually need to have a sales gene. What they do need to have is this desire to help people by getting people connected to each other that can help one another. And when you put it in that context, you get incredibly great engagement and results. And again, it's all about teaching them how easy it is just to make an introduction. And the key to the introduction is, don't feel like you need to nurture that. You connect two people, you tell them why you're connecting them, you leave it in their capable hands, and you get out of their way.
Yes, so brilliantly put. I was recently in a workshop where we discussed that the word of referral can be intimidating to people, and I found that so interesting. And the discussion went around the idea that sometimes when you say the word referral, a person feels pressure to instantly give business versus talking about the word advocate, and the word advocate just being somebody that publicly supports someone in business. And just, you know, is kind of like we were saying, that raving fan. And it, how it can be so much more of a welcoming and positive means of discussion. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. But it gets back to that extrovert versus introvert piece. Yes, you know, and something for us to be aware of. Because Lord knows you and I are not those people that have a hard time referring. So, you know, I forget sometimes that it's hard for others. So, yeah.
But it's funny that you say that, Deanna, because I never was a great referral person. And it really took me a little while to figure out that it wasn't really that difficult, and where I was willing to do it and where I wasn't willing to do it, and how easily to get that done. And it was very interesting because when I was speaking last week, one of the audience members asked a really great question. And that question was, I'm not comfortable doing a referral because when I do a referral, that means I'm endorsing that person and I may not know them well enough to endorse. And so my response to that awesome question was really this. You're connecting people, and you can put some caveats around that connection.
Absolutely.
I know this individual. I haven't specifically worked with that individual. I know he has knowledge in this area. I'm going to connect you guys. I'm just going to leave it to you to decide whether that's a great connection or not. I'm not going to opt you out. I'm going to connect you and let you opt yourself out.
Yes. So well put. So well put. And I know that when I refer people, I always qualify. If I've worked with them or I know them well, I will rave and rave and rave. But if I haven't, I will simply tell them, you know what, I met this person at an event. They offer this service. I know you're looking for this service. You might want to check them out and see what they offer. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah. So
yep.
Well done. That's great. Yep. So I have, you know, I feel like no matter who I bring into this show every week, doesn't matter what the topic, we always end up talking at some point about social media, because social media impacts every orifice of our business in some way, shape, or form. So I have to ask you, given all the focus on social media, how does a referral-based business strategy leverage social?
Oh, you know, I love social. It is like, it is my passion in life. And it's interesting. The reason why it's in passion in my life is not because I do consulting in this area in terms of acquisition, because that's not my sole focus area. I really look at social, and I love social from a research perspective, because people put all of this information out there that you can go in and figure out sentiment and determine what else you can do from a business perspective for products or customer care. So I spend a lot of time in this space. And what's interesting to me, and based on the research that I've done and what I found, was social media has really altered this whole concept of referral. It used to be, not that long ago, maybe 3 years ago, that people introduced one another with a business card and or a phone call of, I've met this person, I'm going to give them your telephone number. And now, within the last 18 to 36 months, social has really changed that. And it's a couple of different ways. One is people use social to actually connect people together. And a lot of it still happens by email. I actually do a lot of referrals by email, where I do a virtual introduction by email. But I also do it from a social perspective. And the other thing that's happened is, and I'll use a great example, I've worked with an individual since 1998. And this individual, we have been peers. She's worked for me. She's worked with another company that was a prospective client of mine. She knows my skills better than most. And it was interesting. I was on LinkedIn a few months back, and I saw her post a request for a referral for a specific skill set. So I responded to her saying, I'm pretty sure I can help you with that. And so it was interesting. Even though she knows my skill set and I'm top of mind, it was just the way people use social now is they don't think actively and go through the Rolodex of who should I call. They just post it and they see who responds.
Yep.
So social is really important from a referral-based strategy and treating as a channel. You need to have some social activity to really enable it and make it easy for people.
Yes. You know, I love that example because a very close colleague of mine, she and I work very, very closely together. We're in a similar networking group together. We have a private Facebook page. I get a text message from her one night and says, oh my gosh, someone just posted they're looking for a speaker. I just instantly raved about you. You have to hop on right now. Go, 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 go. I mean, it's true. People post interests and needs up there, and it's like first one out the gate wins. It's so interesting. And I mean, you got to be out there and you got to be plugged in. It's just fascinating. So, Sandra, I mean, I've got a page full of notes. I've taken so much, and there's been so much great content in such a short period of time. I just know that there's going to be tons of listeners out there who may want to follow up, ask questions, learn more about what you do. I know that your website is on our posting online. But please, if anyone wants to follow up with you, please tell us how they can do so and what's the best way to get in touch with you.
Make it very easy. I like to talk to people on the phone. So they can contact me at 858-997-7324, or feel free to text me at that number as well.
Okay. So that number again, everyone listening, was 858-997-7324. And I always like to wrap up with one question. So here's the question. Complete this for me. Referral-based business strategy is critical to a business because it
delivers on bottom-line results.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Sandra, I cannot thank you enough for being here. And I just have to wrap up by saying I know you do many wonderful things, but to anyone listening, when she says her passion is social media, this woman is a walking encyclopedia of everything you need to know about not only this in topic today, but when it comes to social media. She has just, you've blown my socks off from the work that you've done in the past. And I know you and I have been in groups together. If you want to know who's on what social media platform, doing what, where to find your clients, how to get out there, talk to this woman. I mean, you'd be shocked at just how much information is out there and how much is in this woman's brain. I mean, you're just remarkable. And I'm so impressed with you and all that you do. So I can't thank you enough for being my leading lady today. And again, I want to thank everyone for listening. This is Deanna Potter, your petite powerhouse with Potter Coaching and Consulting. Please join us next month for, again, Sassy Sales and Business Development, hosted and sponsored by Connected Women of Influence. We thank you again for joining us, Sandra. Have a great week, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.